Coolies, a true story of Australian women at war, adapted from the diary written in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey. Dedicated to those nurses who did not return. Sister Davis.
Missing.
Sister Hempstead.
Missing.
Sister Gardam.
Missing.
Sister Raymond.
Missing.
Sister Jeffrey.
Here. We still have concerts now and then, but not as many as we had in our last camp, as we have to ask permission from the Japs. I had an amusing time when I joined the Barley Mow. Three of us dressed up as old hayseeds, each with a pretty maid on his knee, while we had to drink to the Barley Mow in an ocean, a river, an ogshead, a gallon jar, a quart pot, a pint pot, a nipkin, a pipkin, under the green bough. The children loved it, and were most intrigued with our coconut fiber beards.
Sister Jeff.
Oh, hello, Hank. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you, Sister Jeff. I saw the concert last night.
Did you like it?
Oh, yes. I liked the part with you and the whiskers best.
The Barley Mow.
Yeah. And please, Sister Jeff, where's your whiskers?
My beard? Oh, I don't know where it is now, Hank. It was the fibers of a coconut stuck on.
I liked it when the whiskers go up and down as you sing. Sister Jeff, what is an ogshead?
A hogshead. Oh, it's a sort of measure, like a beer barrel.
I don't know what that is too, Sister Jeff.
Well, there must be lots of things you've never seen at all. I hadn't realized. Trains and ships. The sea.
What is the sea like, Sister Jeff?
It's enormously big. Miles and miles of it. It's beautiful. But it can be terrible, too. It changes color with the sky. Sometimes it's blue. Blue as your eyes. Sometimes gray. It's never still. And it can be dreadfully lonely.
Mama says there are waves with white on top that run up a beach. Have you seen it?
Yes. And little choppy waves that wash into your face, fill your mouth with water and leave your mouth crusted with salt.
Oh, I wouldn't put my face in the sea, but I'd like to look at it.
There's lots of things for you to see, Hank, when you get out of here. What a day. I'm exhausted. Apart from that, how are you feeling?
So-so. All right.
You should take it easy for a while, Ioli. I don't want to land back in hospital again.
Oh, I'm all right.
Ioli?
Hmm?
Little, Hank, what's his name? You know.
Oh, Yopi's friend, yes.
He was talking to me when I was scraping drains this morning. And, you know, it hit me that these children don't know anything about what's outside this place. Ordinary, simple things. No, I don't suppose Hank's ever seen a tube of toothpaste.
I find it hard to remember what that's like. I suppose in a way they're lucky not to know what they're missing. They'll have such a lot of fun discovering everything. Do you remember when you saw a merry-go-round for the first time, Jeff?
No, I don't.
I do. I was completely fascinated. And the first time I saw puppets. Oh, Lordy, that seems a lifetime ago. And pony rides on the beach. Apples on sticks. And the odd smell that surf sheds have. Hank wanted to know about the sea.
You should have been able to tell him about that. You were in it long enough.
Funny, I could taste salt and smell the mangroves and hear that awful squelch of mud.
Oh, don't talk about it. Think about something pleasant or you'll never get to sleep.
Something pleasant. Going to the Wattle in Collins Street and having Devonshire tea and their special sponge cake.
Oh, don't.
Oh, stop gossiping, you two, and go to sleep.
Sorry, Jenny. Good night, Jeff.
Good night. I am just having another slice of cake. August 17th. A lucky day for some people. Jenny and I were on kitchen duty, and during the morning, Hank came running into us full of excitement.
Is the rice ready, Jeff?
All set, Jenny. Here, give me a hand with this bat, will you?
Right. Hang on.
Got it.
I'll start filling it with water.
Jenny! Sister Jeff!
Oh, dear, oh, dear. What's the matter with Hank?
In here, Hank. What's happened?
Sister Jenny, where's Sister Jeff?
I'm here. What's all the fuss?
Well, Sister Jeff, I've come to tell you. There are letters.
Letters? You mean for us?
Where, Hank? Who told you?
Mrs. Moira.
Hear the news.
Hank says there are letters.
There are. For the Dutch and Eurasian. Or some of them. Mostly from Singapore.
None for us, Pearl?
No.
I'm sorry, Sister Jeff. I thought everyone would get one.
What a relief for those women to get news of their husbands.
Can't help envying them a bit, though, can you?
No. Just think. A letter from home. Oh, well, come on, Jenny. We better get on with it. As the hot day wore on, we were given a ration of palm oil. And then it tried to rain. All very important, we thought then. At 4:30 p.m., we were squatting out in the sun, scrubbing out huge rice vats.
Hey, listen, Sylvia. You'll have to put more elbow grease into it.
Oh, listen to who's talking. Don't take any notice of her, Sylvia. I had to wash the vat she was supposed to scrub all over again.
Hey, nothing of the sort. Must have been used after I did it.
Not so much gassing and a bit more work, you two.
Now, look at them.
What, Jenny?
There's Mrs. Finch and Mrs. Moore coming from the guardhouse.
Where?
Walking their horses.
Oh, dear, Rasputin's with them.
More trouble.
Look, they're carrying something.
Something's up. They stopped Iole. Good heavens, what can it be?
Quick! Everyone, letters! Letters for us!
Oh, it can't be. They'll all be from Singapore.
I'm going over.
Oh, me too! Come on! Oh! Oh, sorry, Sylvia!
Come on!
Come on!
Jeff! Hey, Jeff!
What a crush! I can't see a thing.
Oh, I wish they'd hurry up and tell us if there are any for
Jeff,
us.
Who's calling me? I can't
it's
see.
It's me,
Iole. Oh, Jeff, there's a letter for you.
For me?
Yeah.
You're sure?
I can't believe
it. I saw it, and I asked Mrs. Hinch.
One for you, Iole?
No, none for me. I'll get out of the way. Be one less in the mob.
Perhaps Mrs. Hinch didn't see it.
She said she'd looked. There wasn't one.
What's happening?
There's a letter for me, but none for Iole.
Oh, dear. What a disappointment.
Do it too. Attention, strikes. Attention.
Astray will form queue and wait for letters to be handed out. Each letter must be signed for.
Wouldn't you know they'd make it as difficult as they could?
Well, what do we do? Queue up in alphabetical order? Well, it'd probably be easier. Let's get ourselves sorted out.
Dear, I wish they'd get on with it.
You're next, Sister James. Then me. The first letter for 3 years.
I looked over Mrs. Hinch's shoulder and suddenly saw my mother's handwriting. I went cold and goosey all over. It was so familiar. And to see it in all this awful mess and slum conditions amongst people from all ends of the earth, it didn't seem real. I signed for it and walked away somewhere with it. And for the life of me, I couldn't open it. I just stood and stared at that handwriting.
Jeff, what's the matter?
What?
What are you standing there like that for? Oh, Jeff, you haven't had bad news from home.
I don't know, Ioli. I can't open it.
Would you like me to open it for you?
Yes, please.
Give it to me. Read it.
Dearest Betty, everyone home well. Overjoyed hearing from you. You have two nieces. Rex, John still away. Boomerang not yet arrived. Love from all. Mother.
Oh, how lovely. It's good news.
Two nieces. I've always wanted a niece and now I've got two. Funny, just for that moment I felt as if I were home again. All this was wiped out. Remember, I put in my letter 2 years ago when I wrote home, "Don't forget, I'm a boomerang."
Uh-huh.
Oh, Ioli, it is lovely to get a letter.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry, I wish you'd got one. Look at this date. They're 2 years old.
You remember months ago, the little Japanese interpreter told us there were 300 letters here for us, but we wouldn't get them till they were ready to give them to us?
Little monsters.
Oh, Jeff, three of the girls have had bad news. To get a letter after all this, to be told that one of your parents has died, must be terrible.
The letters have had a most peculiar effect. Sadness and joy all mixed up. All the same, we feel we must be getting near the end of the war now, or we wouldn't have been given them. As it is, the Japs have kept them for goodness knows how long, when we could have had the comfort of them long ago. Oh, how I hope the Nips are squashed and thoroughly broken. They're a cruel, untamed, uncivilized race. Excitement gradually died down over our letters from home, and we settled back into our old routine. Work, more work, stinking heat and hunger. We all got a surprise the other day at Tenko when Seedling, the most reasonable of our Jap guard, made a short speech.
You will run up at the shelter shed or receive injections.
Injections? For what?
Oh, goodness knows, Jess. It's the first medical attention they've considered giving us.
Oh, well, it's better late than never. Trouble is, where are they going to give them? My arms are so thin they'll have fun trying to miss the bone. Not that that would worry them.
Well, I hope whatever it is doesn't make our arms sore. There's too much work to do.
Wouldn't be any better if they gave them to us in our legs.
Yeah. Well, we never sit down much.
Ostrai, run up here. Come to a table, one at a time.
Oh, the heavens.
Seedley must be a medical orderly.
Why, what makes you think that, Jeff?
Well, he's getting all prepared to give us injections.
Oh, I don't think it would worry them if he knew how to give a needle or not.
No. Oh, well, in goes.
Rest arm on table. I clean it.
Oh, smell of meths again. Takes me back.
Keep arm still.
Well, he seems to know what he's about.
So?
I don't like the idea of just blindly having injections like this. I want to know what's in them.
Seedling was terribly fussy about the injections, and he gave excellent ones. We think they're against typhoid. He also had us all weighed. I am 7 stone 3. We were told that we would have more injections in a day or two, and sure enough we did. Arms and tempers were very touchy for a few days. We all felt miserable and quite sick.
Oh, dear. I feel like death on a white horse. Oh, if only we knew what was being injected into us.
Wouldn't make any difference, Jess. We'd still have to have them.
Good afternoon, Sister Jess, Sister Shorty.
Oh, hello, Carl. Have you had these wretched needles, too?
Oh, yes. They do not make one feel very well.
That's putting it mildly.
Oh, hello, Kong.
Oh, I must sit down. I feel awful. All scratchy and bad-tempered.
It is better to keep the temper cool and not to agitate oneself.
Well, I know it's better, but how do you do it? I've just heard that Seeky the Saddest is to make a speech tomorrow.
Oh, yes, I love Seeky's speeches. They always sound so full of great importance, and then when they're translated, it's all hot air. What's up this time, I wonder?
I don't know. But if I'm feeling like this, I don't want to have to stand in the sun for an hour and listen to him jabbering.
It does not worry me. I find it restful to have a little time to stand and think my own thoughts. Captain Seeky's speeches do not have to be listened to, as Sister Jess says. It is all about nothing. Empty heads rattle loudly, but no one need heed their clatter.
Ah, the end of another perfect day.
Oh. What did you think of Seeky's announcement, Jeff?
That we're moving back to Manta? I dread the move.
Yeah, what a horrible thought it is. It'll take 24 hours to get there.
Still, it might be better than this place. There might be some water. Maybe there might even be some more exits.
Oh, well, if there were, it'd make it worthwhile. Oh, but think of it. 60 miles of the Moosey River and 20 miles of Banker Strait.
And no food provided.
Yeah.
Well, we'd better start buying all the food we can. We're bound to be moved out quite suddenly, so it'd be a good idea to have something ready to take with us.
Poor Nellie, she'll be flat out on the black market.
Oh, I'm tired.
How's your arm feeling, Jeff?
Oh, not bad if I don't lie on it. But it's so hard not to bump or be bumped lying so close together.
Well, if anybody bumps mine, I'll bite them.
Good night, everybody.
Night, Jess.
Night, Jess. Night, Shorty.
Night.
This place is like Grand Central Station to try and sleep in.
Oh, for goodness sake, it's an alert.
Oh, gee, let's go out and have a look and see what's going on.
Oh, I wouldn't miss this one for the world.
Listen.
On earth.
I wonder if this is a real raid or just a practice.
Those machine gun bullets weren't practice, Kong.
Oh, they are nothing. That is just to give extra warning.
Yes, and if a few of us get killed off, that's just bad luck, huh?
Shorty, Jess, come over here. You must see this.
What is it? Where are you?
Over here at the people. Quickly.
What have you found, Jeff?
Well, you look at the Japs running in and out of their air raid shelters like startled ants.
Oh, no. Oh, the guardhouse is in a turmoil.
Their greatest concern seems to be for that rattling old tin trunk. See, many of them are guarding it.
Funny little men. Look at them falling over each other. Must be something very valuable.
Their air raid organization's an absolute scream. They're scared still.
Hey, look. Look over there at those.
Oh, no, I can't believe that.
What is it, Shorty?
They're all thickly padded with cotton wool, and it's sticking out everywhere. Look at them.
They look like Angora rabbits.
It makes them a very clear target in this moonlight.
The way they protect themselves with padding and air raid shutters and all the rest of it, while we, poor unprotected things, have nothing.
Oh, well, of course, we needn't come outside. Our shack of leaves, which will burn down in a couple of moments, is our protection. Anyway, I've seen enough. I'm going back to sleep.
Nothing seems to be going to happen. I think we've seen the fun show.
Hey, where's Kong?
I am here, Sister Jack. I will stay and watch the little ants running so busily about their business.
Well, we'll leave you to it, Kong. I'm going to bed.
We have these air raid alerts every night now. A horrible, eerie business that always seems to start just when we've settled down to sleep. The cars start running up and down the road, tooting with a very sinister toot. We always listen for the rattle and clank as the Japs take their old tin trunk inside an air raid shelter. The poor hey-hoes stand about in the shelter, shivering and crying. They're absolutely terrified. Each day now, we are getting a little fish or pork with our rations.
Oh, phew. I've just been down to help bring the rations in. I couldn't make out what on earth it was in one of those serpent things that was moving.
Moving? For goodness sake, what was it, Jess?
It was the pork.
You mean it was alive?
No, I don't. It had been dead quite some time.
Oh.
Still, I suppose it'll all make good stew.
Yeah, that little bit of protein each day is making a bit of difference.
Hey, what do you think?
What about?
We're to be allowed to write our second letter home.
Oh, how wonderful. When?
We can get the cards tomorrow. We can write 50 words, but we mustn't say we're hungry or that
we have to work so hard.
Oh, there isn't any water.
We have to clean the drains.
Now, how did you guess?
Mm-hmm.
Also, we mustn't say we're carrying water for the Japs, nor say how we fertilize the sweet potatoes, or mention the move to Montauk.
I see. It will be full of news, won't it?
Hmm.
I wonder, can we tell them that when the rice comes in and the Jap rations officer weighs the sacks out so punctiliously that it is not until the wily nips have left that we discover half the weight is in stones, varying in size from a walnut to a cricket ball?
Well, frankly, I don't think you could mention that.
Hmm. Hey, you're talking about cricket balls. I forgot to tell you. Mrs. Brookhouse and a couple of the other Dutch women were telling me the other day that they've heard so much about cricket that they'd like to see how it's played.
Ah.
I thought we might give them a match.
Well, that'd be a novelty. You'll be all right, Jess. Your uncle was an Australian test player, wasn't he?
Yes, but I don't know whether these things run in the family.
Iole ought to be all right. She's the daughter of an interstate bowler. We could make a pretty good team.
You've got to have two teams, silly. Hey, what do we do if anyone hits a sixer over the top of the dormitories and outside the camp?
We'll get the Jap guards to feel it.
We'll make you captain, Shorty. You organize it.
Righto. I'll get it teed up.
Mm. In the meantime, I suppose I'd better go and scrape another drain.
Now, let's see. We'll not put all the good players in one team. Jeff, will you lend me your pencil? I'll have to make a list.
It was a terribly funny cricket match. We thoroughly enjoyed ourselves. And so did the Jap guards, who Shorty talked into fielding for us. Jess and Iole were the heroines of the match. Jess top scoring and catching people out like her Uncle Jack, and Iole taking the bowling honors. She was about the only person who could bowl on the wicket.
Oh, gee. Well, that was a bonza game. Hey, the way Jess caught Clancy, and Clancy jumping up and down with rage.
Well, I don't think Don Bradman and company will miss anything in the way of a test player due to our long absence from Australia.
No, we didn't impress the Dutch much.
Oh, what would you expect, Jess? They play a silly game like rounders.
Oh, I've seen that. Everyone runs at once and there's a terrible muddle.
I tell you what we could do. We'll organise a test match, England versus Australia.
Not for a while, we won't. The day's performance has worn me out.
Yeah. Oh, it was fun, though.
I don't know when we'll get round to the test match. Rice ration has been cut and the fish stopped. Our 10 days' issue for 500 people has been 10 small sacks of rice. But in today's ration, only 6 arrived. We can hardly pull ourselves across the camp these days. I'm sorry. For I'll never get another opportunity to play cricket for Australia.
Again for a further episode of this true story of Australian women at war. White Coolies is based on the diary written secretly in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey, especially adapted for radio by Gwen Friend, and produced by Fifi Banbard for Australasian Radio Productions.